and welcome to the North Decatur Presbyterian Church Sermon Series. We're a PCUSA congregation in Decatur, Georgia. If you'd like to find out more about us, go to ndpc.org or just come by and visit. Here's this week's sermon.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 12. See if this sounds familiar. Jesus is talking to someone who'd invited him to a banquet, and he says, "When you host a meal, don't invite your friends, don't invite your siblings or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you'd be repaid. When you give a banquet, invite those who don't have any money. Invite those who are living with disabilities. Invite those who have lost the use of one or more of their senses. And you'll be blessed if you do, because they may not have the wealth or status to repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." That is the word of God for the people of God. Together we say, thanks be to God. Well, it's a good day today. It's always a good day here, but today is especially good. This homecoming Sunday at North Decatur, we are launching the 23-24 church year. How many of you are glad to see 23-24 come? You never thought you'd get to this day. We're glad. Our annual themes at North Decatur, our annual themes serve as a kind of companion for our shared life together. Our annual theme isn't something that we hold over you all the time. It's not something we're always shoving in your face. But our annual themes provide us with a common spiritual focus. Our themes give us something to wonder about together. Now, last year, our theme for the year was B. We were just coming out of the isolation of the pandemic. We were longing to be together. We were wanting to not take for granted the gift of our own being. Now that we've all mastered the art of being, right? Sure you have. Now that we're all experts at being, what's next for us as a community? What is our theme for this church year? Our theme for the year is making room. Making room. The act of making space available when no such space appeared to exist before. God says to you in so many ways, make room in your life. If you think you've ever heard God say to you, make room, raise your hand. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, go ahead, neighbor, I gotta make some room. Roll with me, people, on this, please. Come on. Sometimes we have to make space in our lives when there was no space before. You're sitting by yourself at a coffee shop. It's busy. It's Dancing Goats, because Dancing Goats is always busy. And there's no place to sit, and you see somebody walk in, and you have to decide in that moment, am I going to make space at my table for this person or not? Say it with me. I gotta make some room. I gotta make some room. Someone moves into your neighborhood. Maybe they move in right next door to you. You have to make a decision. You say, do I have room in my life for a new relationship? Do I have the energy to extend grace and hospitality to welcome this person into my community? Say, I gotta make some room. I got to make some room. Or maybe some of you have brought a child into your home through birth or adoption or fostering, and everything you thought was set just the way you like it got thrown into chaos, beautiful chaos. Or some of you have come close to a parent, or you're brought your parents close to you, or you've come close to your children at a certain time in your life, and now you've got the fullness of another person's life all up in the fullness of your life. Say it with me. I got to make some room. We're all going to get sick. All of our bodies will stop working the way we've come to expect them to work. And all of a sudden, you got to make room. You got to make room for a new way of thinking about yourself as a being in the world. When you lose your independence, you increase in dependence on other people. You take up more room in other people's lives. How many of you have said or have heard someone say, "I don't want to be a burden"? Well, there's no such thing as a burden. You are a beloved child of God, and you are a gift. You're an honored presence in your family's life. Making room can be about making literal space. But I hope you see already, as you're considering this idea, how the exterior act of making room always involves an interior shift. Something has to move on the inside. Some shift inside your head, maybe also a shift inside your heart. You gotta move around the interior furniture of your lives to make room. You might have to build on a little addition somewhere in there. Making room is a kind of a spiritual awakening to the reality and the presence of others. It's letting go of your need for your world to be just so. When we make room, we move gracefully through the changes that life brings us. In all of our talk this year about this practice of making room, we will, of course, also talk about what it means to make room for God. It's kind of a funny expression. "Come on over, God, let me make room in my life for you, the creator, redeemer, and sustainer of every living being." We're going to ask questions out loud like, what does it mean to you that God might want to occupy some kind of space in your life? Or maybe we'll flip the question around and we'll ask, just like the poet George Herbert asked, what does it mean that love bid you welcome? What does it mean that God welcomed you to come sit at God's own table and feast? And if you've been the guest at God's table, what kind of host are you asked to become for others? As we move through this year, I'm going to talk about some of the great stories of Scripture in which this idea of making room gets negotiated. We'll talk about the creation story and how God literally makes a space for every single thing. We're going to talk about Noah and the ark and how the space gets a lot tighter and what happens in that moment. We'll talk about this story about the giving of the promised land and the question that that story begs. What does it mean that God makes room for God's people in a land where there are already people living? How do we get along with each other? That was the question for the Israelites, and it's certainly a question for us in the United States. We'll do that in September and October, and then in November, we'll turn a page and we'll do a deep dive into the spirituality of a man named Howard Thurman. A person who, unlike many modern theologians, understood the connection between your own interior spaciousness, right? The practice of interior quiet, and the quest for social justice. In Howard Thurman's writing, the generosity and the equanimity of your inner world shapes the way you experience and form the world around you. And all along the way this year, we're going to have an ongoing conversation, a church-wide conversation about how to make this room, this very room that we're sitting in, how should we make this room into a home for us to experience God, not only now, but in the next generation. It's been about 20 years since we touched anything in this room, and if you look down at the carpet, you'll know that I'm telling the truth. So we're going to talk a little bit about what needs to move, what kind of room do we need to make in here, even if it means moving the pews.
I love out of all the things that I say today, the one thing you're going to remember is the pew. He talked about moving the pews. Making room is hard.
Making room is a great idea. It's one of these great big ideas. It's something about which all of us can wonder. How do we think about making room for new folks in our community? How do we make room to disrupt the class and racial stratifications of our social worlds? How do we make room at our own tables, at our home tables, for new friends, and even if we're serious about Jesus, for our enemies? How do you make room inside of your own life? How can you make a sanctuary out of time itself to find stillness and self-reflection and deeper, more meaningful relationships?
It's gonna be fun, I think. How many of you are on board for this theme? Anybody? Okay, all right, good. We're going.
All right, before I want to close today, I want to talk about one more thing. I want to talk a little bit about the difficulty of making room. If making room were easy, if making room came naturally to you and I, if we did it with no problem, it would make for a lousy theme for the year. It would be like 2 weeks long. We'd be like, there, done, got it. But we're not good at making room. Not good at making room for changes. We're not so good at making room for each other. And we're not always good at making room for God. Why is it hard? It's hard, I think, because you and I have this habit of using maps to make sense of the world. We're always operating on certain suppositions about the way the world is supposed to work. The world is mysterious, and we want it to be less mysterious. We want it to make sense and be ordered and predictable. So we take knowledge into our bodies and into our spirits, and this knowledge becomes like maps by which we read the world around us. Let's look at physics. What a great map physics is. A good, reliable map for understanding the world around us. What goes up must come down. Rocks are soft or hard? Hard in general, right? Donuts are delicious, right? That's not physics, but that is true, right, William? Physics is a helpful map because some things about the world don't make obvious sense to us. Airplanes, right? Doesn't make any sense at all that thing stays up in the air, but it does because of physics, and we can trust it. Maps help us make sense of the world, and we don't just have them for the natural world. We have maps that we make for our social world as well. Maps that help us predict how we can interact with each other and do so in peace and harmony. We call these maps laws. We call them moral codes. We call them sacred stories. We employ them to help us make sense of this chaotic world. These maps help us determine what we can expect from each other. Take driving, for example, right? Imagine for a second if there were no rules on driving. It would be like the bumper cars at the state fair. How many of you have been on the bumper cars? I know you have, right? Insurance companies would rule the world because there'd be chaos on the road all the time. But that doesn't happen. We all drive on the right side of the road. We all abide by the traffic laws, except for that one guy. He's an exception. But things generally work, surprisingly, in our culture, in our world. Things hang together. Our maps and our laws, they actually do a good job of organizing this unpredictable world into something that makes some kind of sense. Except when it doesn't. Sometimes what happens is our map breaks down, stops working. Sometimes the rules that we learned about the way that the world should work, the way that people should act, they don't apply. Or sometimes what happens is one map says one thing and another map that we have says another thing. We've got to decide which one of them is right. That's when life gets interesting. When the maps that we're using break down, that's also quite often when you are called to make room. I'll
I'll give you just two quick examples from my own experience, and I invite you to think about situations from your own life where your maps have broken down or where they've been giving you cross signals. One is when I was 17 years old and I was visiting college, and I was a nervous and goofy and anxious kid wanting to make a good impression on a college admissions officer. And I stepped out of the car on that day on this campus and was immediately confronted by a man who came at me from the sidewalk. And he asked me for something. I'm pretty sure I don't remember exactly. Maybe it was money. And I said no. And then he started yelling at me and just calling me all kinds of names and really sort of verbally attacking me. And I stood there and I was on the precipice of my future, right? And literally this man was standing in my way. And I remember that in the hours afterward and in the weeks that followed, all I could think of were the words of this man named Jesus, who said something like, "Give to everyone who asks of you. If someone asks for your coat, give them your shirt." And I couldn't get that voice out of my head, and I ended up going to that college because I knew that if I went there, I would have to ask and answer the questions that that man on the sidewalk had been presenting to me. Those were the questions that I needed to hold in front of me. How is it in your life that you make room for a new voice? One that tells you, go this way and not that. The second story I'll share with you is also one that you know, and it involves my middle child over in the first pew. Don't get embarrassed, Margaret. They already know this. We experienced complications in Margaret's pregnancy. And when you are faced as a parent with the prospect of losing your child at 18 weeks of gestation, that is not in anyone's map of what it means to be a parent. Now, Margaret is made of steel, so she pulled through. But that doesn't mean we didn't spend 11 months in the NICU at her bedside. And then we decided we had to uproot our life in New York and move to this godforsaken place called Georgia. The map that I had about what being a parent was supposed to be like, I left that map a long, long time ago to make room for something entirely different. When our maps stop working, the first response is almost always, I can't. I don't have room. I like things the way they are. I don't have the space to put up with this. I don't have the time for this. I don't have the energy to take this on. The invitation to make room almost always comes to you as a surprise, even a shock. And so you resist it. You make excuses about why you can't. You say there's not enough. You might build a fence or a wall to keep in what's yours and keep out the other things. And we say to ourselves, that person over there has no claim on me. And we cling to the old map. But if you should know one thing about the gospel, one thing about the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus comes into the world to inaugurate God's reign, it always comes as a surprise. Or even a shock. The story of Jesus is consistently a story about making room when we thought there was no room. There's not enough bread here to feed all these people. We've got to make more room. That person is sick over there and doesn't belong here with us. Well, we've got to make more room. Well, that person over there, they're not one of us. And Jesus will say, well, maybe we got to make more room in our sense of who us is.
In Luke's gospel that we read today, there is no place where the will of God is taken more seriously than at the dinner table. The dinner table is the place where Jesus, the mad scientist, conducts his experiments in human community, trying to perfect the beloved community of God. It's almost like the good news of God must be experienced at our table if it's going to be experienced at all. At that table and at our tables, power and wealth and dignity and creativity and blessing and purpose and love, every good gift that comes from God is shared. At the table, love bids you welcome. And God's voice says, there is always room for another. Let the church say, amen.